This morning's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be in my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and while they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upwards towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
Does anyone here live in the same town or the same city that you were born in or grew up in? Do we have any natives that never moved anywhere else? It's me? Cindy? Of course. It's very rare, especially here in Southern California, but all over. Even if you don't change cities, change towns, generally you'll change apartments or houses, condos, something. I grew up in the same house from the time I was born until I moved here to Southern California for grad school. I went off to college, but, you know, that was just dorms. My house was still my parents' house. My parents still live in that same house. It's a house that they built right before I was born. And it is across the street from where my mom grew up. My mom's childhood home is literally across the street from where my parents live now. My sister now lives next door to my mom and dad. My mom's two brothers live less than a mile down the street beside each other. But this is by no means the norm. I am conflicted, I suppose, to say if I were still in North Carolina, there is a plot of land on the other side of my parents' house with my name on it that will probably not be used by me, but that's okay. Most of us have experienced moving in some form, some more than others, some more recently than others. I just recently changed jobs less than 2 months ago. That was a move, even though the job itself is literally two blocks away from my previous job. And then I changed apartments last year as well. Many of you, I'm sure, have changed locations for work or moved around the area, around the country. How many people are new to LA or Sorry, we're not in LA, I'm here in Orange County. How many are new to Southern California within the past 5 years? All right, so how many are new to Southern California in the past year? Still a couple. All right, so we are constantly coming and going. It would not take you long at all, I'm sure, to think of someone that you know who has recently moved away elsewhere as well. Moving is a reality. Change is a reality. you leave behind family and friends, you make new friends along the way, coworkers change. Constantly there's change, there's comings and goings. Often moving is very stressful. It's one of those big stressors, they say, on relationships. Changing jobs, changing houses, all of these things are stresses. They add major stress, often a sense of grief and loss as these transitions happen as well, as you leave behind those close with you. But just because you're not physically close to someone, whoever it is, whoever you might have left behind, it doesn't mean that you don't still feel their presence. Whether you're just down the street, you've moved across the state, across the country, whether someone has passed away, their presence is still felt. You still think of them. They are, in many ways, still with you. You know that love still binds you. Those bonds that you shared endure. Even if there's an absence of many years, even if there's that permanent absence, it's still there. Your connection with that person is still there. In John Steinbeck's classic, The Grapes of Wrath, Jim Casey says, he doesn't have a soul of his own. He has a little piece of a soul, but it's not any good unless it's with the rest, this whole big soul. That is something that belongs to everyone. It's in this spirit that people stay with us, even if they're not next to us. We are all connected. That connection lives on, even as we move, even as relationships change, even in loss. It has been 40 days since Easter. Thursday was actually 40 days since Easter Sunday. It is Ascension Day. We celebrate today as Ascension Sunday. During that time, the disciples' world really has been turned upside down. They've been able to experience Jesus physically. He's still been present with them. It has been different, but he's still been around. They could still touch him, speak with him, even eat with him. I also have a friend, like Michelle was saying, that loves to refer to this as zombie Jesus. It's not quite zombie Jesus. The gospel stories go out of their way to tell us that this presence was real. It wasn't that Jesus was a spirit. Yeah, every now and then he walked through a wall or two, but he was still real. He let them touch him. He ate with them. He made it a point of breaking bread with them. Jesus was still around. But then that 40th day came, and something changed. The scriptures say Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. In a very real way now, Jesus was gone. More so even than after the events of Good Friday. But this time, they didn't have to be sad. Because after he was taken up, as the apostles were still staring at the sky, you have to imagine rather dumbfounded, the two messengers of God appeared and immediately were asked, hey, why are you still standing around? Jesus has told you what to do. Jesus has literally been preparing them for this moment. He has told them to go out. And like the apostles, we have been told what to do. We have been prepared. So why are we standing here? Why are we just sitting here behind four walls, in a sense, staring at the sky? There's an ancient story told about a group of monks living in the desert. One day, someone gave this community a bunch of dried figs. Because they didn't really seem worth anything, and because they were afraid of offending him, nobody took any of these gifts to the community's revered elder. Abba Arsenius. Learning of this, the old man did not join the other monks for prayer that day, saying, "You have cast me out by not giving me a share in the blessings which God have given you, and which apparently I was not worthy to receive." All of the monks who heard this were deeply moved. And then one of the monks took the small, shriveled up, dried out figs to Abba Arsenius, who received them gladly and joined his brothers in prayer with joy. The lesson often shared from this story is that hospitality, real hospitality, the kind that true faith calls for, requires us to pour out ourselves for the other, to offer anything and everything we have, to provide the basic necessities of life, both material and spiritual, for one another. But there's another lesson to this story. The monks had received a gift. Unfortunately, when they were only thinking of themselves, they didn't realize the full value, the real worth of the gift. It was only when they shared what they had received that the gift's true value became apparent. By not sharing fully what they had been given, the monks had damaged loving, long-standing relationships. There were missed opportunities to share in community, in communion with one another. So the question of the day remains. If we have been taught and prepared, if we have received the gifts that we have as a community of faith, then why are we sitting here, staring at the sky? Think about it. Within this faith community, you have the gift of a vibrant group of young people. You have a very gifted pastor. You have a beautiful building, brand new carpeting. These are good. These are, in fact, great gifts, and you should be grateful for them, and you very much seem like you are. But what about the other gifts? What about the little gifts that we so often overlook? Those individuals who might be the unheralded spiritual core of the church. Those within the community that have taken on the special ministry of hospitality. Your love of fellowship, your commitment to issues of social justice. These are all gifts that this community has received. Think about it yourself. What are the gifts of this community? I'm sure you can think of a list of them. Do we miss the full value of these gifts because we haven't risked fully sharing them? Because we haven't actively invited others to come and share in what we have received? Things that we have cultivated within this church. I am only a visitor here, as it were, but I see the gifts that are here. I remember them from my time with you 5 years ago. I know of them from talking with Sarah about the love that she has for this community and the love that she sees within this community. My hope is that you will go from just being a welcoming congregation to being an actively inviting church. This is a constant journey forward. It is something that you can never stop doing. And it means more than just offering hospitality to those who come through the doors. It means going out and inviting people to join you, going out and doing things like being involved in the OC Pride Festival, letting other communities know that there is a community of faith here ready and willing to accept them, to embrace them, not only embrace them for who they are, but embrace them and help them see who God can help them be as well. Yes, we were created in God's image, but we were also created with the ability and with the hope that we would continue to strive to be more, to show more love, to be more caring, a stronger witness to others. It means no longer just sitting in the pew looking at the sky. This job is a job for everyone. You can't leave it to a particular group or committee. You can't expect Pastor Sarah to do it alone. It is our job as the church. We have to go out and we have to share the good news that we know. We have to live the Great Commission. Luke's gospel tells us that after the ascension, the apostles left the mountain filled with joy because they were aware of the gift of Jesus' lasting presence and power at work in their lives. And they were eager to take that light and love to the very ends of the earth. We have received the exact same gifts. We've received the exact same instructions. So why are we still just staring at the sky? Amen.